Today on Real Radio.
The wolves were encompassing Ephesus to pounce upon Timothy and the ministry. People were leaving the church, going after strange doctrines. Paul is in prison. Timothy's crushed. The ministry didn't turn out quite the way we thought. And Tim's about ready to give up. He's against the ropes. He's bloodied and bruised and beaten. And Paul says, "Oh, Timothy, hold fast. Be strong. We need to be committed afresh." Timothy's broke, he's hurt. That's why Paul encourages him, and he's on his deathbed and he does it.
"You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love."
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy and looking at the last six verses of chapter 1, as well as other passages. Paul continues to encourage his son in the faith. In fact, at times he uses military analogies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Faithful Soldier.
He works in us and by the Holy Spirit personally, in our hearts. And then he works in us corporately. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, concerning the church, you and I, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's corporately. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the situation with Ananias and Sapphira, they lied against the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, "Why has Satan filled your heart, Ananias and Sapphira?" And God judged them, protecting and preserving the church. Now, I want God to do that again today. Lord, those that are ripping off the flock, fry them, God. Cook them. Let them have it. And God just says, "Jack, will you go sit on an ice cube and mellow out, will you? Just cool off. I'll do it." But you know what? When you've been wronged or hurt like Timothy is hurt, God, why don't you do something? Free Paul up. Let him go. I need him. God says, "Timothy, just back off. I'm in control. I don't understand. I didn't ask you to understand. Just follow me." But why don't you fry them like Ananias and Sapphira? I'm working. I'm preserving my church. I'm protecting it. You just do your task. And that's a hard thing. But God will watch over the church corporately. In 1 Peter 1, 4, it says, "To an inheritance, incorruptible, he will give us, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us," for you and me, "who are kept by the power of God through faith." Isn't that good? He will keep us corporately as a body of believers. Hebrews 3:5 says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," the church, you and I. Do you believe it? I mean, I'm forced this morning with the issue, do I believe this or do I not believe this? If I believe it, then all of a sudden my problems in the ministry are going to really greatly diminish if I'm leaning on him, because it's his church, it's his work. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith." He'll do it. He's going to do it. He's going to see the church through. He's going to see the work of the Lord through. In the eternal sense, which is the third way that I think the Lord will see his commitment to us fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Now, he says here in verse 15, now he changes his whole tune here. In verses 13 and 14, he's exhorting Timothy to hold fast to those sound words, to be strong with the example that Paul has laid out before him, to keep those things, and knowing that you're kept by the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 15, he says, "This you know," another exhortation, "that all those in Asia have turned away from me." Now, first of all, it's not Asia as we know it today, Asia. It's Turkey. all those in Turkey have left me. And people, this word turn away, the Greek word is apostatrifo, and it means to turn running. We have a modern term, we have a military term that's called desertion. Same meaning, same word. The guys went AWOL. And the picture that's painted by Paul is that he's ministering, everything's going along, and the moment the guards came to seize him for the final time and take him to Rome, those that were with him, it was just like this. In the Greek, it means this. We're with you, Paul. We're hanging in there, buddy. Keep going. We're right behind you. And then the guards come and seize Paul, and the Greek word is desertion, abandonment, to turn on foot and run. Hey, they split with great speed. We're behind you, brother. Keep it up. Praise the Lord, man. And then, boom, they're gone. You can see a cloud of dust and their soles of their feet trampling down the path. They're out of there. And Paul was left abandoned. And this is very sad. Here's a great man of God, and he tells Timothy, this you know. You know this, Timothy. Signifying that Timothy was quite possibly present at his time of arrest there in Ephesus. This you know, that all those in Turkey have turned away from me. They fled. They split on me. They left me high and dry, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Sounds like some kind of a new dishwasher or something. I don't know. These guys jammed, and it causes us to believe, first of all, that these guys headed it up. When these guys split, people followed suit after them and left Paul alone. Verse 16, he goes on to say, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Now, he first of all recognizes that there are enemies in the ministry and there are friends in the ministry. We don't know anything, first of all, about Phygellus and Hermogenes other than they split, but he contrasts their life with Onesiphorus. There's a great contrast. There's always a contrast, people. Every one of us as Christians, we're going to be doing the work of the Lord. We're going to be living our lives, and there will be those who will stab us and split. And they may even be Christians, and they'll still do it. Then there are those who will hang tough. And I'm going to suggest to you that there will be few of them who will hang with you. There will be very few that will hang tough with you. And Paul has this friend in Onesiphorus. Now, first of all, why is Paul so grateful? Number one, people, we have to understand the background. There are great false accusations coming against Paul. Why? To discredit Paul. Why? If you can discredit the messenger, you can discredit the message. If you can crush the messenger, you can poop out the message. Why? The messenger's linked to the message. Paul went into cities and preached the gospel. People were converted, and people began to say, well, wait a minute, I saw him driving a gold-plated donkey. He didn't have a gold-plated donkey. They lied. They made it up. Oh, yeah, well, you ought to see his robes. He didn't have any robes. Well, you should have heard him. He said this. He never said that. There were false accusations. And look, you and I know. All you need to happen in your life is for somebody to say, well, I think Johnny is a whatever. And people pick it up and run with it. It may not even be true. But you know what? By the time it gets back around, so much damage has been done by that word that you can't go back and fix it. Even if you prove them false, people will still look at you and say, oh, there goes Johnny, yeah. And the thought that registers in your mind is, yeah, Johnny the bozo. Oh, but that, yeah, that's right, that wasn't true. But it locks in there, it stays in there just by a suggestion. There were people against Paul, preaching against Paul, undermining everything Paul had done. They were doubting his apostolic call, and so they began to preach, Paul's not an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's why when you read the epistles, Paul's defending it, his apostleship. People, there will be fires in our lives, but don't give any gasoline to the flames, right? People are going to accuse us. Let's not have a gas can in our hand to throw on the accusation. We need to be careful. And Paul was very careful. In Titus 1, verse 9, he says, we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught to us, so that he can encourage others, so that we can encourage others with sound doctrine and refute those who oppose us. You can't preach a message and live a different lifestyle without the news getting out in time. Now, if you're going to preach the gospel, people will attack you, yes. Jesus says in John 15:20, remember the word that I spoke unto you, the servant is not greater than the master. They've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Now, if you get persecuted because of sin, then you deserve it. But if you get persecuted for righteousness, you do not, and you let God be your judge. But your life will really, in time, exhibit and display really what you have in your heart. But he says about Onesiphorus, what a name. I love this guy. We need an Onesiphorus in our lives. He says, the Lord grant, verse 16, mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. A godly friend, do you have one? Do you desire a godly friend? First of all, let me say this. If you're praying for a godly friend, he may come or she may come at a time that you're not expecting. Number one, Paul's friend was exposed during his great time of hardship. You want a godly friend? When are they going to show their colors? When you're in hardship, when you're down and out. A lot of people will really reject you, but they don't mean to. They may love you, but because you've taken a downturn, they may feel uncomfortable. Example, when you're somewhere and you see somebody that's very handicapped, what do? I mean, down deep inside, you, first of all, your heart goes out to them. You know that feeling? It's, oh. But then you kind of look the other way, don't you? Come on, I know. No, you don't. Maybe I'm the only one who does. I look the other way, not because I don't love them, not because I don't care. I get uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. And so I act like I don't see them because I don't want to embarrass them. Little kids will look at them. I don't want to look at them because I don't want them to feel goofy. And it's my stupid, awkward way of loving them. I don't want to embarrass them. I respect them. But because of my awkwardness, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I kind of look the other way and, oh, look up there and walk down the aisle or wherever I'm at. You know what? Onesiphorus, man, Paul was handicapped. He was in prison. Nobody wanted Paul. The fact of the matter was so much false doctrine and stuff had gotten out about Paul. Onesiphorus goes to Rome and seeks him out. To me, Onesiphorus is a type of Jesus Christ. He sought us out, Jesus did. We were imprisoned by sin, drugs, living our life, pride, whatever we were doing. We didn't need God, but we were chained to our sin. And Onesiphorus came into our lives. Jesus came. Or maybe it was a friend who knew the Lord and they befriended you and pointed you to Christ to encourage your heart again. It would cost you your life to be associated with Paul. The Jews plotted against him and they used lies about insurrection that he was preaching against Rome. That's what got him in prison. The same thing that got Jesus in prison. And here's the deal. If you are going to really be a friend to somebody, really, and they get down and out, your friendship's going to be put on the line. What do you do? Hey, if I get thrown in jail, you hear a bunch of rumors about me. I get thrown in jail. Somebody says, yeah, you know what? He's in jail because he robbed First Chino Hills Bank or whatever. Oh, no kidding. I knew he had it in him. Boy, it's terrible how all this stuff happens. Hey, 1 out of 100, maybe 1 out of 1,000, someone's going to say, you know what? I'm going to him. I'm going there, man. Have any of you been to visit him? No, are you kidding? He's a bank robber. I'm going. Onesiphorus said, wait a minute, Paul's in prison? I'm going. But look, people, it's just not set up your donkey and head to Rome. If you went to Rome looking for Paul, it could cost you your life to be associated with a man like that, according to the rumor. He risked his life. Not only that, but he seeks him out and he refreshes him. That word refresh means to bring fresh air, cool air upon his life, to bless him. Don't you want to be a breath of fresh air to people? Onesiphorus was that kind of man. He blessed Paul. He was not ashamed of his chain. He was beautiful. He showed forth the love of the Lord. Now, this is a radical commitment. Do we have it in our lives? When somebody's handicapped in prison, are we going to turn the other cheek and look away and out, just because we're uncomfortable? Not because you despise them, but because you're uncomfortable. You know what? Go to them. Love them. Be guilty. Be guilty by association of loving them. Be associated with Paul, with Jesus. When someone's down, love them. When you hear somebody in prison, in the hospital. I went to the hospital this week. It's always uncomfortable. You know the feeling. You never know quite what to say. I've never had a stroke. I've never been incapacitated that way. You walk in there. And right then, Jesus says, be me. Be me. You kneel down alongside the bed, you touch him, you kiss him. And that's not my nature. You kind of like, you know, you want to put your hands in your pockets, you want to, so how's it going? You know, you can't do that. You got to go up there and love them. We must do that. It's not natural, but Christ in you. Obey. Step out in love. Onesiphorus sought Paul out. Can you imagine the masses in the streets of Rome? Everyone's walking with this thing on their face, happy, sad, whatever. And here's this man, Onesiphorus, looking. Excuse me. Have you seen Paul the Apostle? Is he in prison here? Hey, pal, you better keep your mouth quiet about that. Somebody will kill you looking for Paul. Thanks. Walks down the street. A man with a direction, looking and searching. No, see, why go search him out? He's an old man. He's in prison. What good is he to me, you see? What good can he be to me? The man's ministry's over. No. Onesiphorus, by the way, his name means the bringer of comfort, comfort bearer, a blessing bearer. And he goes and searches out Paul diligently. He's not ashamed of his chain. Verse 17. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Isn't that beautiful? Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus, Onesiphorus, what an example this man is. Now, it says there in verse 18, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know, Timothy, you know very well how he... How in many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. What a tremendous blessing. What do we find in this text before us this morning is that Paul is in prison. He's on his death cell block. It's the end of the road. Timothy is back home in Ephesus crying, biting his fingernails. There are wolves gathered around. Have you seen that picture out there by the church office? We bought that when we were in Jacksonville, Oregon, at a bookstore. There's a little lamb standing there, totally oblivious to what's going on. And on a hilltop, there are several wolves gathered around. And the shepherd's standing there. And the wolves have purpose on their mind, and so does the shepherd. And the little lamb is totally oblivious to the danger. Man, when I saw that in that store, I said, that's it, man. That is awesome. We got to have that. And on your way out, look at that. An awesome, awesome message just in the scene that's being portrayed there. The wolves were encompassing Ephesus to pounce upon Timothy and the ministry. People were leaving the church, going after strange doctrines. Paul's in prison. Timothy's crushed. The ministry didn't turn out quite the way we thought. And Tim's about ready to give up. He's against the ropes. He's bloodied and bruised and beaten. And Paul says, oh, Timothy, hold fast. Be strong. We need to be committed afresh. I talked to somebody this week who came back from vacation. I said, did you have a great time? She goes, yeah, but that's not what's on my heart. We went away and we just saw how rest of the world, where my family lives, is so void of the gospel and it breaks our hearts. And they were moved with compassion for the people of that area. Timothy's broke, he's hurt. That's why Paul encourages him, and he's on his deathbed and he does it. I want to end with this little story. There was a, I'm not sure about the years, I think it was the early 20s or early 30s, but it was the Boxer Rebellion in China. They were killing Christians. And there was these 100 students in this one province there. And the government came and they put out this big cross on the ground. And they said, all those who will denounce Christ, come out and step over and trample under the foot the cross of Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. We'll grant you your life. But if you do not denounce Christ, we'll kill you. And in the early 1900s, these Christians had the gospel message there in China. And this is documented. And the first 7 students fled from the building and took sides with the government. But the 8th was a young girl, teenage girl. The 8th girl, she shot a prayer to heaven and said, Lord, give me strength. I do not want to denounce you. And she walked outside the building, kneeled alongside the cross, and bowed her head. And they put a rifle to her head and blew her away. 92 students were looking out the window and saw that. They were so rallied by her commitment, by the grace that covered her, that they held hands and prayed, and they went out and knelt around the cross, and all of them at that moment entered into God's presence, singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? This girl went before them and showed them that it could be done in Christ, that the grace was there. It was sufficient. Paul went to prison for us to write a message to Timothy that we could be encouraged where we are today, no matter what the ministry's done to us, no matter what life has dealt us in the way. We can be strengthened, we can be blessed, we'll make it to the other side. Even if it costs us our lives, God will be there faithful to us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. A look at the last 6 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a presentation called The Faithful Soldier, and we'll continue with more in the series 2 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy all in one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Hidden sky, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.